Wake up, everyone. It's time for the Steve Noble Show, where biblical Christianity meets the everyday issues of life in your home, at work, and even in politics. Steve is an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and on his show, there's plenty of grace and lots of truth, but no sacred cows. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Or check him out online at thestevenobleshow.com. And now, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Hey, everybody. This is Steve Noble. It is the Steve Noble Show. How the hell are you? What do you do with that? Get your wide phylactery going. Get your long tassels swinging around. And what do you think about me using the H-E double hockey sticks? You ever heard anybody say that? Oh, H-E double hockey sticks, as if we don't know what they're talking about, or any kind of Christian substitute for a swear word, you know, freaking, fracking, whatever, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, that's just a bunch of Barbra Streisand, right? You kind of know what that is. So there's all those types of things. So what do you do as a Christian when it comes to the use of profanity, cuss words? So I guess we can kind of generally define what they are. Of course, you had a list of seven words that you're never supposed to use on television. That was George Carlin a while ago, which I will not play for obvious reasons because, you know, I'm not Howard Stern and I don't want to get, you know, hammered by the FCC, which you would if you go too far. Although it's pretty lax these days, even on primetime television. It's amazing what you can hear today that you did not hear 15 or 20 years ago. But I digress. So is it ever okay for a Christian to use vulgar language? So, you know, the S word, the A word, BS, certainly the F word. You know what I'm talking about. I don't have to explain that to you guys a whole lot. So what do you think about that? I've got some pro articles. I have some con articles. And I think we have to be careful on this one. And no, this is not one of the biggest issues of the day. Sometimes when I do a conversation like this, and I want to open up the phones, I would love to hear from you today. This is a dialogue today. This isn't just a monologue by yours truly. I really have no interest in doing that today. I want to hear from you. What do you think about Christians and cussing? Cussing Christians, is it okay? Is it sometimes okay? Is it never okay? Is it a sin every time? Did Paul use vulgarity? The Greek translation is skubala, which is dung. Some might prefer to look at that as the modern S word, right? So there it is from Paul. And what about in Isaiah when he talks about your good works, your righteous works are like filthy rags? This isn't like a T-shirt, an old T-shirt that you have in your garage. Do you know that in the original language in Hebrew, a filthy rag was a used menstrual cloth? That's pretty shocking. Pretty descriptive language, to say the least. You show up at heaven, think you're going to turn in your good deeds, and what you're handing them is a bunch of used menstrual cloths. That's what Isaiah was saying. That's specifically what he was saying in the book of Isaiah. And so what do you do with that? Is it ever okay for a Christian to use vulgar language? Is it always wrong? Is it sometimes wrong? Is it sometimes just fine? But I would love to hear from you today. What do you do with the issue of cussing as a Christian? And again, I know this one isn't the top of the list, but we do radio 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. That's about 260 shows. So we can talk about lesser items from time to time, and I don't feel like I'm wasting my time or yours. And this happens to be a subject that I struggle with myself. Just ask my family, and they'll tell you the truth. I am not clean as the wind-driven snow, pure as the wind-driven snow. I struggle with my tongue from time to time, especially when I'm mad. But just curious, what do you think about Christians and cussing in general? 866-348-7884 is the flippin' phone number. See, there you do it again. Now, if you do that, you throw that you think you're being all Christian because you don't use the actual word. You have a nice substitute. Is that okay? But God looks at the heart. You think he doesn't know what you're actually thinking? It's ridiculous, right? 866-348-7884. And I fully expect you to light the phones up today. And I'm not going to get into an argument with anybody. I just want to kind of work through this. There's some things where we disagree as Christians. We love the Lord. You understand the gospel. You say you're born again. You have allegiance to the word of God. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm right there with you. But how do we handle this particular one? Because there's not a 100% consensus. Throughout evangelical Christianity, I have not discovered that myself. 866-348-7884 is the number, or 866-34-TRUTH. Is it ever okay for a Christian to use vulgar language? Whether that's, you're in private, right? You're angry. This is generally when mine will come out. I'm angry. I'm hearing something. Listen, the situation in Washington, D.C. almost always makes me want to use vulgar language, especially when I'm reading or I'm in my car. I'm listening to something like right now, because Donald Trump's going down the road with all the Republicans and the Democrats, and they're going to raise the debt limit and they're going to do all that insanity. That brings a lot of emotions up in me. And when I'm angry, my kids know I'm angry, if really frustrated, if all of a sudden they hear something that they're not used to hearing. Is that always wrong? Does it depend on the company? If it's mixed company, it's always wrong. If you're by yourself, maybe not so much. 866-348-7884. What do you think about Christians and using bad language? Naughty language, dirty language, cussing, whatever you want to call it. 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH before I hit the break. And I've got several things I want to share with you on this particular subject. Some pro, some con. And I'll give you my opinions as usual as we go through it. But today I'd much rather hear from you and your opinions. 866-34-TRUTH. As always, is our number, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to my friend Clay, who's calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Clay, good to hear from you. What do you think about cussing, my friend?
Well, brother, God bless you for doing this, and thank you so much for, I guess in a way lingering around the subject. And first thing I would like to do is commend you on what you did 3 weeks ago for bringing that the thing out about where you were reading the poem, 2 days before Independence Day. I've still yet to get all of it, because I feel that it you can share something like that with people and get them to understand, because, many, many, many words in that poem are really heartfelt to me, and I just feel that people need to be able to understand that.
Yeah.
Anyway, getting into what you're talking about, today, I have found that, I don't feel it's appropriate. But, yes, every once in a little bit, you have a little bit of slip of the tongue. I don't feel it's, about getting angry or getting mad or getting upset. I think it's like some disappointment and some frustration. But I have come to learn that, if I'm going to go in that direction, like, say, you'll get a kick out of this, instead of saying, the eighth letter of the alphabet, I've come to say jalapeno poppers. Or if I'm going to say the sixth letter of the alphabet,
yeah,
I'm going to say something about a fungus among us.
Right. I got you, Clay. I'm up against the break, but you've made your point, and I appreciate that. I'll pick up on that when I come back. I love you, brother. Thanks for calling in. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back.
So what are we waiting for?
The B word, the F word, the S word, there's all kinds of words out there, right, when it comes to cussing, vulgar language. And then there's our substitutes, instead of saying OMG, use, I don't know what you say, oh, geez, jeepers creepers, JC, Jesus Christ, that kind of stuff. So that's kind of what most people think of when they think of taking the Lord's name in vain. I'm talking about vulgarity. The words that in an open forum around little kids, most people are going to have some kind of a reaction to that, a negative one generally. If I'm in Chuck E. Cheese's and I'm dropping the F-bomb and the A-bomb and the S-bomb and blah, 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 most parents are going to get pretty upset with that. There'll be a few that don't even notice, but most will. And so I think you and I, as mature people, understand when we say cuss words or vulgar words, we know what we're talking about. So the question today is that always inappropriate for a Christian? Is it okay? Or is it not? Is it always wrong? Is it a sin? Would you go that far? Is it a sin for a Christian to use vulgar language? 866-348-7884 is the phone number, or 866-34-TRUTH. And want to hear mostly from you today, not so much from myself. 866-34-TRUTH. Is it a sin for Christians to use vulgar language? And if you want to talk about different circumstances, you're alone, you're not alone, you're with other people, with believers, unbelievers, feel free to do that as well. Just give us a call, 866-348-7884 or 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jim, who's calling in from Greensboro, North Carolina. Jim, thanks for being on hold for a while. Thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
Okay, thank you very kindly. I was about to use some bad language before saying whatever I'm going to say, because I was on hold so long.
Well,
nevertheless,
that's beautiful, Jim. Great job.
I had a question pertaining to what constitutes cussing. And you somewhat answered it. But as far as my opinion is concerned, I don't think a Christian really should go around using bad language. It serves as a bad witness for Christ. And so I wouldn't encourage it. And definitely not in the pulpit. Although a minister too has used, let's say, something that's considered impolite in the pulpit. But yeah, it shouldn't be done. That's basically my feeling.
Yeah, and I think, and that's a great point. That reminds me of, I have several scriptures written out here in front of me. That reminds me of Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. So unwholesome talk, we could look at as anything like what you're talking about, what I mentioned earlier. And I think that's a really valid point that we have to wrestle with. And maybe we shouldn't be wrestling all that hard, but I think a lot of people still do. Jim, thanks so much for calling in. That was a hilarious opening line, by the way. I appreciate that. Okay, man, have a great afternoon. Let's jump over to Valerie, who's calling in from Charlotte, North Carolina. Valerie, you're on with Steve. Thanks for calling, and go right ahead.
Hey, I grew up, I didn't grow up in a Christian home by any stretch of the imagination, and I grew up in a lot of cursing on top of other blatant sin. And I think that cursing, especially around people, anybody, especially children, but anybody, it defiles the person. And it also makes you less valuable. That's, you know, and the scripture that you said, let no corrupt. You know, how can salt water and fresh water come out of the same
thing? Right.
But there's certain incidences, and my son and I got into a talk about this. Let's say Denzel Washington. He's a Christian. Now, he's going to be in a film where he's portraying some guy. I think it's appropriate for him to be able to curse in that film. He's portraying a character. Let's say he's a street guy, you know, and that's what the film calls for. Should he turn down the job for that role?
Right.
You know, that's a situation where, you know, and there's been other times where, like, let's say there's something I'm sharing on Facebook, which is always causing people trouble, but, and in what I'm sharing, there is a curse word. Okay, but the whole of what I'm sharing is good.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So I will share it, and I will say, this has some cursing in it. Excuse me, I'm sorry. So I kind of, if I'm sharing it, sometimes I go, and maybe I shouldn't even share this because I, you know, most of my people are Christian friends, and plus I'm a Christian, and other people aren't, and why is she sharing this?
Right.
So,
right.
But sometimes I share it because it's making a point or it's something, and I will put before I share it, you know, there's coarse language, please forgive me, you know. It's not tons of it. Maybe there's an F word in it or the person said something. So those are kind of a couple incidences where perhaps a Christian would partake in using foul language.
Yeah, and I think that's a great point, Valerie, and I appreciate you calling and sharing that. And on the issue of Denzel Washington, he's been in several movies, and I've read some interesting things about him and his faith. I'll take it at face value that he's a believer, he's a follower of Jesus Christ. But you know, I think of one movie, Training Day. Another day, it was about, I don't know, he was like a kind of a drug dealer guy in New York City. I can't remember the name of that. And horrific language. And then he did another movie when he was a pilot, and there was a really explicit sex scene in that. And I think you have to look at overall, like what do you do with Saving Private Ryan with a movie like that? Not only the violence, and the violence in that I don't believe was gratuitous. I believe it was accurate. But the swearing in that, you're going to go hang out with a bunch of guys that stormed Normandy and then went inland from there for a few weeks. Guess what? You're going to hear bad language. So when you make a movie about that, I don't think I would agree that that's for a Christian to make that movie. I don't think that's a violation, because, again, God looks at your heart. And you're in there playing a part, and you got to look at somebody like Denzel Washington. Let's assume, like our caller said, that he's a believer, and all the other things that go on in his life inside of Hollywood as a witness, things that he says and does behind that don't happen on screen. And you sit there and go, well, all that's discounted because he was in a movie where he used a lot of bad language. You got to be careful with that. But again, bad language in and of itself, We've got Ephesians 4:29, which I just mentioned. You got Ephesians 5:4, nor should there be any obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking. That's the NIV, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. James 3:9 and 12, somebody else mentioned that. With the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in God's likeness. Out of the same mouth come both praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. Can both fresh water and salt water flow from the same spring? What a great question. Colossians 3:8. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. But then you have a couple instances in the New Testament and in the Old Testament where there's pretty strong language being used. Was it a profanity? Was it vulgar? There's some debate there. But very strong language, and for a point. So we'll have to talk about that as well. 866-348-7884. Do you think it's ever okay for a Christian to use vulgar language, curse words, profanity, whatever you want to call it? Let's go to, do I have time for this? Real quickly, I think. Mac calling in from Raleigh, North Carolina. Mac, sorry to keep you holding. I've got about 45 seconds. Go ahead.
I do my best. Thanks, Steve. I've been sitting here trying to go back and forth, and the easy answer is no. You should never do this. I think of it, and I listen to the show all day long from the Truth Network, and I listened this morning, and it's basically, if Jesus was there in the corner, would you do whatever it is you're about to do?
Right,
so if you'd be vulgar in front of Christ and you're okay with that and the Holy Spirit doesn't move you, then have your way. For me, yeah. I couldn't do that. Knowing
right.
Christ was there and looking, I think that's enough said for me. I want to justify why there is a good reason, but,
right.
You know, I have filthy rags, just like you talked about earlier.
Yep,
I can never
I
be good enough.
That's a great point, Mac. Thanks. That's a great point. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about Christians and cussing, vulgarity, profanity, S-word, A-word, F-word, you know, all the things, the usual ones. We're not talking about taking the Lord's name in vain, which most people consider GDJC. We're not talking about that. And actually taking the Lord's name in vain has a much broader application than just those two things. I think we let ourselves off the hook if we read it that way. You do some more in-depth research in the theology behind it, and you'll find that taking the Lord's name in vain is basically like, what do you do as an ambassador? So are you living out what it means to be an ambassador of the gospel? And where you are not, you have taken the Lord's name in vain. You've assumed it. You're representing him, right? We are his representatives on earth. And so that's a much broader application. That's not what we're talking about today. We're talking about the usual vulgarity kind of stuff. And yes, there's a lot more issues that are bigger, but I think where we have some differences as Christians, it's important for us to work through it. And with the goal being, we want to glorify God. And we want to be as holy as we can, and we want to be an effective witness to a watching world. So when we use vulgar language, whether it be in the presence of unbelievers, believers, or just by ourselves, what does God think of that? And one of our last callers, powerful point, if Jesus is in the room with you, are you going to drop that F-bomb? Are you going to say the A-word, the S-word, whatever? I think most of us would probably, if Jesus is hanging out in your living room or he's hanging out on the back deck with you, and I said this on the break to my Facebook Live friends. If you want to join us on Facebook Live, by the way, Monday through Friday, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern is the live airing of the radio show. Just go to Facebook and in the search box, The Steve Noble Show, and boom, you'll land right there and you can join us here in the studio. But I said over the break, listen, if I'm on the back deck and I'm listening to something, a podcast or whatever, and they're talking about some ridiculous stuff in Washington, D.C. or some abortion issue, and Jesus is out there hanging out with me and we're having sweet tea, because, of course, Jesus would like sweet tea, then, and I go, hey, Lord, do you believe this SH blah, blah, blah? I mean, am I? No. I can tell you right now, I will definitely check my language and my behavior, even my body language, if Jesus in person is hanging out with me. And I think you would do the same. So that should tell us something, right? Also, like, would you say it in front of your mother? Would you say it in front of your grandparents? Would you say it in front of your pastor, your priest, whatever? Those are all a good little checks on our spirit as we deal with this particular issue, Christians and cussing. Let's go to Janice calling in from Truth Radio out there in Salt Lake City. Janice, thanks so much for listening and calling in today. Go right ahead.
You know, I have a niece who once said to me, she was about 5 years old at the time, and she said, Aunt Janice, you're the only person who's going to heaven. I was really flabbergasted by that, and I said, why do you say that, Krista? And she said, because you're the only person who doesn't swear.
How about that?
Now, I was concerned about her misconception of who is and isn't going to heaven.
Sure, sure.
And so I said to her, the hell I don't. And I said that simply so that she would know. I mean, I don't generally cuss and never did until that day. But there are so much more important things than whether you occasionally drop the H word.
I totally agree.
And I didn't want her to. I didn't want her to go through life thinking that everybody else was damned.
Right.
To use another word.
Right, because they use. Well, if I can find it in the Bible, I'm not going to apologize for it. But that was a great and contextual moment. That, I mean, by God's grace, Janice, she asked you that question. She postured that, which is a works-based theology, which we all need to deal with whenever we run into it, so that they understand, because you're taking away from the grace of God. You're taking away from the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And now it's about what man does, and it's not about what Jesus did, and that's totally off. And so in that occasion, I think I would give you three amens and a high five on that. I think you did the exact
right thing. Well, thank you. But I just feel like it's so important that young people don't feel bad about themselves.
Yep. No, I think that's a great point.
We need to lift other people. And if in order to do that, I need to lower myself a bit, I will lower myself to lift.
What a great point. Janice, thanks so much for calling in today.
That's my point.
That's a great point.
Uh-huh.
Thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
God bless you. Bye-bye. What a great point, right? Contextual. That was the right thing to do. And I guarantee you, her was it her daughter or granddaughter? I guarantee you that lesson probably stuck. Let's jump over to Tony, who's calling in, one of our Wilkins Radio affiliates out in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tony, thanks so much for calling. Go right ahead.
Hi, guys. I just wanted to put in my two cents about the use of vulgarity.
Yes, sir.
The Bible says all over the New Testament that we're supposed to be set apart. We're supposed to be a peculiar people. And if we're going around in our life in front of people, they're watching us. We have a 24/7 witness every day. So if we're claiming to be Christians and we have no difference in communication than the world, according to the Word of God, it says that people that use vulgarity and detestable conduct, they're not going to see the kingdom of heaven. And so that thing about actors being able to use vulgarity, like you guys mentioned.
Denzel Washington.
Johnson or something. Basically, I've heard Denzel Washington talk about God, and pretty much his movies are all pretty much detestable. So, basically, a guy in his situation, he's already sold himself out to the other side. So, the main thing about Christians, so-called Christians, you are either Christians in real life or Christians just in name. So, a Christian should never, never use vulgarity for any reason. If he did, it just was an accident. And that was it. It's just something that happened that you didn't plan.
Yeah, the old man showed up, and especially if you got saved later in life. But Tony, I would add this to your point about whether somebody's a Christian or not. I would always turn around and ask the question, how holy does one need to be in order to qualify as a Christian? Because there's nobody that's going to reach that level of holiness, not in this life. There's always going to be there's sin in your life, there's sin in my life. So I would just caution people, be very careful when you get a ruler out. That's why Jesus was talking about, hey, before you deal with this, the speck in your brother's eye, you might want to deal with the plank in your own. But I understand where you're coming from.
And my take on it is that I see the world or the Christian world basically living as far to the left as they can with being in the so-called Christian movement. So you can't see a difference between the Christians and the secular people.
Right.
And that's a big problem
That's a big problem, Tony. I really appreciate you bringing that up. I'm going to jump off of that one. But thanks so much for calling in today. We appreciate you listening and being a part of the show.
God bless.
God bless you, too. Thanks so much. And that's the other thing that's behind this. Should you have like three different modes of conduct? Should you have three different modes, like a little switch that you go, okay, now I'm in front of Christians now, so I've got that switch. I'm in front of unbelievers now, so I've got that switch. And then I've got another setting when I'm by myself. I think ultimately holiness is about everything all the time. So whether you're in front of other people or not, it's not what's appropriate to them. It's what's appropriate to the Lord, right? And again, I am not talking about this. I am not coming from a high and lofty position on this. I struggle with my language, especially when I'm frustrated and angry, when I'm struggling with something. Personally, I'm mad at myself, whatever, because I spent the good chunk of my earlier years without Christ. I didn't become a Christian until I was 28. So I had all kinds of years of practice and programming, and that stuff's there. So that becomes like the go-to language. And is it lazy language to drop this bomb, that bomb, the other bomb? Oh, I think absolutely you could say that it is, because there are certainly other ways to communicate, right? The F-bomb, for example, somebody was saying on Facebook, I'd have to check this out, maybe didn't even come into existence until the 1800s. So what about in the 1600s? I guarantee you there's been vulgar language the whole time, because we can be vulgar people. So the question always comes down to, is it pleasing to the Lord? And somebody asked on Facebook Live, because I mentioned earlier, if I'm sitting on my back deck with Jesus and I'm mad about something, and I say, could you believe that, SH? Because he's sitting there, I guarantee you, and don't try not to wave your finger at me. I understand that the Holy Spirit is with me all the time. I know God is omnipresent and omniscient, all right? He's everywhere all the time. That's the trick here, isn't it? That's the struggle for all of us, isn't it? Because we sit there and say, well, if Jesus were with me, then it would be helpful. Well, he is. But because we're weak and we see through the glass dimly, we make that excuse. Say, if I can't see him physically, then it's a lot easier for me to sin. But the reality is, he's not only in the room, he's in you. He's in me. But the point being, to show our hypocrisy, not just mine, but probably yours as well, jump on the wagon train here. If Jesus is in the room, I guarantee you, you're going to check yourself more than when he's physically not there, right? And we will be held accountable for every word that we utter. Jesus talked about that in Matthew. Every single word that you utter, the things that you said that you shouldn't have said, the things that you should have said that you didn't, and out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So every time we say, I didn't mean to say that. You want to bet? According to the word of God, you did mean to say that. Somewhere in our dark, depraved hearts, even on this side of the cross, on this side of my salvation, there's still the old man in there. That sin nature is still there. And if I said it, somewhere in my mind, I thought it. So, a great point by my wife, Gina, on Facebook Live that I'll get to right when we come back after the break. Sorry, honey, but I'll get it out there. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, the Steve Noble Show, talking about cussing. Something that I will readily admit to you that I do, is it every day? Maybe not every day. Is it regularly? Depending on my mood. Yeah, my cussing comes into play when I'm angry or frustrated, when I feel like things are out of control or I can't control something. But some people making some great points on Facebook Live, not the least of which is my bride, who is a very wise woman and has to put up a lot with me. So you can pray for her, but she's making up a point. She said this, I like to think of it as, quote, where does our mind go when we hear those words? Wholesome or sinful thoughts? What does that do? That's the hearer, right? That's Ephesians 4:29. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And I shared, I think it was on the break on Facebook Live. So we have a sidebar conversation on Facebook Live. So if you only ever listen on the radio, praise the Lord for that. I'm deeply appreciative of all of our affiliates across the country. But on Facebook Live, because while you listen to a commercial on radio, which is super important, we kind of have a sidebar conversation. And recently, not that long ago, with one of our sons, who they're 18 and 23 now, I was upset about something, didn't feel like I had his attention. And so I said something that I don't think he had ever heard me say before, in an attempt to get his attention. Now, I can try to justify that all day long, as saying, well, I was actually trying to, Ephesians 4:29, I was actually trying to build him up according to his need. But really, did I need to go there? Did I need to use such a vulgar word? I think it was lazy. I think it was impulsive. I think it was out of anger. I know it was out of anger and frustration, and therefore it was wrong. And that's a heart issue. Forget the word choice for a second. Just look at the heart issue. When I did that, I was angry. I was upset. I felt out of control. I felt disrespected. And so I lashed out. Do not act on your anger, right? Righteous indignation is one thing, but we're called to control ourselves. Anger is not necessarily a sin. It's what you do with it. And in that case, I can tell you right now, my motivation was not pure and holy. And I was not trying to build him up. I was trying to tear him down. I'm just telling you, that's just the raw deal right there. Okay? That's just the fact. Tommy said this. This is great on Facebook Live. He knows our hearts. And he said that if we sin with our eyes, it's the same thing as if we actually did it. Right? That's a powerful one. Division is a powerful tool. If we get too wrapped up in the little things that we disagree on, we often miss what we are presenting as a whole to non-believers. They will know you are mine, Jesus said, by the way you love one another. And back to our caller from Albuquerque, not Albuquerque. Was it Albuquerque? Yeah, I think it was Albuquerque. A great point. We're called to be different. So you might find some freedom. Paul said, not everything's sinful. Some things, it's got to ask, is it profitable? All right, you have all kinds of freedom, but is it profitable? Is it good for the gospel? Is it good for the kingdom to use that language? And so are we, I think the best reason to not swear functionally is for the purpose of being set apart. And not that that makes you a holy roller, it makes you more holy in God's eyes. If you have Christ, that's your righteousness. It's imparted to you. You don't have any. I don't have any. That's all imparted to us through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But on this one, I think we have to be really careful. And if I'm by myself, you know, remember what David in Psalm 51, when he's pouring out his heart on the other side of Bathsheba, having been confronted by Nathan the prophet, I've sinned against you and you alone. Bathsheba's husband, the whole kingdom, as he kept, you know, carried on that lie for a while. But David was deeply broken by his sin when he was finally confronted with it. And I've sinned against you and you alone. And oftentimes, we have to be careful. We say, oh, well, I sinned against other people. What about God in all of this? So, Aaron said this on Facebook Live, and then I've got a couple articles I want to finish with because I think they're really powerful. It's not that I don't swear, I do. But I rethink and I feel bad before I didn't care. I'm with you there. I was the same way. So I'm changing in Jesus. It's time and patience and a heart thing. How much you really love Jesus allows you to change, right? That's what happens over time. I've told this story before, if you're a longtime listener. When my wife and I got saved, praise God, within weeks of one another. That was in 1994. And she immediately, the only thing that immediately changed for me, other than understanding the gospel, was I couldn't take the Lord's name in vain at, like, say, JC or GD. Which I had grown up kind of using it as punctuation. I just, like, my tongue got cut out. I just couldn't. And for my wife, several things stopped immediately. For me, one of the things that did not stop was drinking and heavy drinking. I was still drinking to the point of getting sick. And it took, I don't know, 8-10 years to get to the point where I'm like, yeah, I don't, what's the point? There's no upside to it for me. I don't particularly like the taste. As I got into radio and stuff, especially here in my town of Raleigh, North Carolina, more people know me than I know them, so now I got to worry about that, and I should. I don't want to cause other people to stumble. When I drink, if I have, you know, 2 glasses of wine, I'm losing control, self-control, my eyes, my tongue. Well, where's the upside? But that took years. But to the point on Facebook Live, I think we have to be careful that we're not dividing ourselves over this. If you have a friend that's got a major problem with swearing and cussing, have a conversation, but don't do it in front of other people. And do it with grace and salt, right? Love and truth and grace all at the same time. But the opportunity to be different is important. We're called to be different. That's what it means to be holy. Holy is to be distinct, to be set apart. So there's really not a lot of easier ways in our culture anyway, in the Western culture, than don't have a trash mouth and, you know, don't get drunk. And, you know, just don't live an openly disgusting life in front of people. It's pretty easy to be set apart in Western civilization, especially in America. Holy cow, right? All right, so a couple things here I wanted to, because I think these are really great. And I appreciate everybody that called in and everybody that was commenting on Facebook Live. I really do appreciate that. It's good. We need to work through these things. Come, let us reason one to another, as the Old Testament says, which we need to do more often than not. There's a lot of other things to talk about and work through as we work try to be more like Christ. The Swearing Christian, My 13 Cents Worth by Frank Viola. This is from Patheos.com. which has a lot of different type views on it. And I think some great stuff here. Certain words are offensive in the hearing of much of our culture before someone pipes in and says, but swear words aren't offensive to the culture. Think again. I was a high school teacher for many years, and there were words that were offensive and couldn't be used by the students nor the teachers without rebuke. That hasn't changed in most public school systems today. Further, many parents don't wish their children to use certain words. You know what those words are. If such words aren't offensive to a sizable portion of the culture, then why tell children and students not to say them? It's a valid point. So the fact that certain words are offensive to the culture in general is without dispute. The question that is in dispute is it acceptable for Christians to use such words? We are living in a time where there is less of a consensus among Christians than ever. For instance, I've seen arguments condemning and approving the following behaviors by Christian people. Smoking cigarettes, smoking pot, watching R-rated movies, listening to secular music, swearing and cussing and profanity and vulgarity is another topic to be added to the list. Let's reframe the question, which is why I'm reading from this article. Instead of looking at it through a legal lens, right versus wrong, let's put the question on a different mountain. Is the use of certain words that are considered profane or vulgar by the general population a help to the gospel of Jesus Christ or a distraction from it? To put a finer point on it, here are five questions to ask yourself within your own heart that may help you navigate the issue. Are you addicted to using profanity? A Christian should not be in bondage to anything. That's Romans 6. For some people, the next point, who are in the world system, using profanity gives them the impression that you are no different than they are. I've heard people make this case all my life. Christians are no different than us. They cuss, talk bad about other people behind their backs, gossip, slander, but so on and so on. Is it possible that any of your friends or coworkers feel this way when a Christian uses profanity, vulgarity? Again, that's that violation of being set apart. Third point, do your spiritual instincts tell you that profanity, vulgarity is wrong? Do you ever have a check in your spirit? You listen to yourself, you're cussing a lot. Do you ever sit there and go, I probably shouldn't have done that. You might want to listen to that little voice in your head. There's a good chance it's the Holy Spirit. Do you think that profanity, vulgarity in your own life reveals a problem with your heart? Anger, lack of self-control, mad at God, no patience, just an anger problem generally. I told you that before. You know when I'm mad? When my language goes. And why I'm mad is not usually a holy reason, not something I can put before the cross. Does your manner of speech violate either of the following texts? Those are the ones I shared with you already. Ephesians 4:29, Ephesians 5:4, which talks about coarse joking. James 3:9 through 12, which talks about cursing and praising coming out of the same mouth. And Colossians 3:8, which often gets overlooked on this topic. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander. That's all in there when I swear usually. And filthy language from your lips. Pretty obvious one there, right? Let me finish on this because I have time. Not a lot, but a little. On Cussing by John Piper. There's a whole category in the Bible and in the English language called crude, crass, vulgar, and indecent. Those words didn't come out of nowhere. Those words are invented because human beings in every culture have felt certain things are inappropriate. Every culture has something that they view as offensive, off-color, or rude. Now, a person might ask, well, is there a biblical category for that stuff? And the answer is a resounding yes. 1 Corinthians 13:4 through 5 says, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Now, rude in the King James is translated, does not behave itself unseemly. Now, that word unseemly is an old-fashioned word. Hardly anybody uses it today, but we all know what that means. There are things that are inappropriate. They are dishonorable. They are disgraceful. They are indecent. The Bible says, be aware in the culture where you are not to offend unnecessarily against what is broadly considered rude. Here's another one. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking. And then you get this phrase, out of place or unfitting, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Paul knew that there were 100 decisions you would have to make in your life, which you couldn't consult a list. There's no list that is going to work when something is inappropriately crude or foolish talk or filthiness. Here's more on the third area at the end of Ephesians 5:4. It says, but instead let there be thanksgiving. Which I think means that Paul thought if your heart is right and brimming with gratitude to God in all things, there will be a monitor on the kind of crudeness that comes out of your mouth. That's a powerful point. A really powerful point. One, don't debase and cheapen great realities. Two, does it come under the category of culturally recognizable, crude, off-color, vulgar, and offensive? And three, again, this is John Piper, does it reveal a bitter, overly angry, and dissatisfied heart rather than a thankful heart? That's a great gospel point. Christians and cussing. Something for all of us to consider and probably work on. This is Steve Noble on The Steve Noble Show. God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon. And like my dad always said, ever forward.